Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, Texts 108 and 109, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jive, Sharup, Hoy, Krishna, Nitya, Das, Krishna, Tatastha, Shakti, Bheda, Abheda, Prakash, Surja, Angsha, Kiran, Joyche, Agni, Jala, Choi, Shabhavik, Krishna, Tin, Prakar, Shakti, Hoy, Jibeshwarup, Hoy, Krishna, Nitya Das, Krishna, Tatashta, Shakti, Bheda, Bhed, Prakash, Shurjang, Shakiran, Joyche, Agni, Jala, Choi, Shabhavi Krishna Tin Prakash Shakti Hoy Jive Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das Krishna Tatastha Shakti Bheda Bhed Prakash Surjang Shakiran Joyche Agni Jala Choi Shabhavi Krishna Tin Prakash Shakti Hoy Then, ladies, can you see from such a distance? Can you hear from such a distance? Jibber of the living entity, Shurup, the constitutional position, Hoy is Krishna of Lord Krishna, Nitya Das, eternal servant, Krishna of Lord Krishna, Tatastha, marginal, Shakti, potency, Bheda, Abheda, one and different, Prakash, manifestation. Surya, Angsha, part and parcel of the sun. Kirana, a ray of sunshine. Joyche, as. Agni, Jala, Choi, molecular particle of fire. Shvabhavik, naturally. Krishna, of Lord Krishna. Tin, Prakar, three varieties. Shakti, energies. Hoy, there are. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows. Sri Sanatana Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Who am I?" In answer, the Lord replied, "You are a pure living entity. You are neither the gross material body nor the subtle body composed of mind and intelligence. Actually, you are a spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Therefore, you are his eternal servant. You belong to Krishna's marginal potency. There are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world, and you are situated between the material and spiritual potencies. You have a relationship with both the material and the spiritual world. Therefore, you are called the marginal potency. You are related with Krishna as one and simultaneously different. Because you are our spirit soul, you are one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are a very minute particle of spirit soul, you are different from the Supreme Soul. Therefore, your position is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Soul. The examples given are those of the sun itself and the small particles of sunshine and of a blazing fire and the small particles of fire." Another explanation of these verses can be found in Adi Lila, chapter 2, verse 96. Jibe Sharup Hoy Krishna Nitya Dash Krishna Tatashta Shakti Bheda Bhed Prakash Surjang Shakiran Joyche Agni Jala Choi Shabhabi Krishna Tin Prakash Shakti Hoy. Om Gyanatimiran Tasya Gyanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Anumapisha Chiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Paragamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much for coming, expecting more great personalities to arrive. Special thanks to my god siblings for coming and blessing us all in this philosophical immersion camp. Philosophical immersion means we should have a huge kirtan. That's when you go through all the philosophy, then what do? You chant Hare Krishna. But Shravana Kirtana, both are there. We also have to hear about Krishna to know who we're chanting about. Otherwise, Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravana Kirtan Tobhuta napai Krishna pade prema don. If we're making offences in chanting, then our chanting will not give the result of chanting, and it won't really be chanting at all. Ashadu sange bhai Krishna nam nahi hoy nama kor bahire borte tobu nam kobu noi. If we're not chanting in the association of genuine devotees, then it can seem like we're chanting. The sound will come out. It seems to be the same. But it's not actually the holy name. So we have to understand philosophy. The English word philosophy is derived from the Greek, so I'm told. Not that I know ancient Greek, or even modern Greek for that matter. But we're told that it means a love of truth, but like so many words, their meaning strays from their original etymological root. So philosophy is an English word, and in the Anglosphere or in the Western world, specifically the English-speaking countries, then philosophy, it's come to mean speculations about truth, and even if there is any truth, if there is any truth with a capital T, and or even if there's truth with a lowercase t. I hope you know what I'm talking about. You're supposed to, should have some background in philosophical understanding to even come here to be in, to discuss philosophy. And philosophy in the Western world means Western philosophy. They don't rate all that stuff which went on in India. They think that Indians were all savages, but when the Western people were still savages, not that they ever really evolved from that, but they became more sophisticated savages. But when the Western people were still in the Dark Ages and before all that, and even before the ancient Greek philosophers, the Indian civilization was largely based on philosophical understanding. And what goes on in the name of philosophy, when I say that they consider philosophy to be Western philosophy, because if you take a course in a college in the West in philosophy, it's only about Western philosophy. They think it began with the ancient Greeks and Socrates and Aristotle and Descartes, and these are the pivotal, seminal figures in what they call philosophy. And they don't even consider that anything intelligent could come out of anything but beef eaters and their descendants. Beef eaters, the British pride themselves on being beef eaters. But what they call philosophy is not love of truth. It's like a dog trying to catch his tail. Do you ever see that in the West? In India, it's quite common. I think in India they do it because I suspect that they have some itch in their tail and they're trying to catch it. But you can never, you know it's there, you can see it, and you're trying to get it, but you never get it. In the colleges, what is taught as philosophy is not really philosophy in the sense of even searching for truth. It's more like looking at different philosophers and philosophies. And just like in the colleges, some people study and they look at butterflies, and some people study and look at amoeba and viruses, and some people look at history. They look at a phenomenon which is separate from themselves. But real philosophy should, if you're going to love the truth, you should actually search for the truth. But most of these philosophers in the or the teachers of philosophy, they're not searching for truth. They might have done at some point in time, but they don't have that feel that I have to find the truth. What is the truth? So, and they'll tell you that you'll come out, this is one course where you'll come out more confused than going in. And if you think you know anything about philosophy, well, that could be said about other courses also. You'll find that you know less when you come out, when you're actually further away from the truth by studying philosophy. They'll tell you. There's a Christian-run, multi-faith discussion group on YouTube called Closer to Truth, and they're trying to understand about God through discussion and philosophy. But how close to you? Maybe they'll get a little closer, maybe not. But Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo, the truth of the self cannot be understood simply by discussion. That is an axiom in Vedic philosophy. Then why so much discussion? Then we're stuck. The understanding is that truth is there. There is truth. And we have to learn about that by submissive hearing. In this regard, when Ramananda Rai was beginning his teachings to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Rai to teach him, and Ramananda Rai gave several... first of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the tone for the discussion by asking, what is sadhya sadhana tattva? What is the goal of life and how to attain it? And Ramananda Rai gave several possible answers to that, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted what is not fully an answer in itself, but it's the beginning of the answer. It's the way to get the answer, which is, anyone? Jnane prayasumudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam sthane stita shudigatang tanuvang manobhya ye prayaso jitajito apitaistrilokyam. Giving up one's speculative habit, giving up being a dog trying to catch his tail, giving up the endeavor to try to understand everything by our tiny intelligence alone, Jnane Praya, become humble. That is the beginning of knowledge. The same thing is stated in Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna, describing the symptoms of knowledge, begins with amanitvam, adambitvam, being free from the desire for honor and being free from arrogance. That is the beginning. So becoming humble, one should live one's life by hearing about Krishna from people who know. That's the point. It's not something to be found by searching, because we'll never find it in that way. Not by unaided searching. But the real search is to find the person who can tell us, and the person who can tell us will tell us. But we're not going to learn everything in one day. So we have to dedicate our life for hearing, dedicating oneself completely for that. It's not a hobby, armchair philosophizing. It's not a hobby. One has to completely dedicate themselves with one's mind, body, and words. What's the body got to do with philosophy? How can you answer through the body? But the point is that our whole endeavor has to be for that, which suggests that also the body is used in service, that we get from Gita also, in approaching a guru, one should humbly serve. These are the preconditions and then inquire. And again and again we'll find this word, tattva comes up, tattva darshibhihi. Those who've seen the truth can reveal the truth. And if one does like this, one adopts this process of hearing in a humble mood from self-realized persons, then one is able to conquer the unconquerable. So it's a matter of seeing the truth, not speculating about the truth, knowing the truth. That the word in Indian philosophy, sorry, it's not a very good term because philosophy means truth and philosophy is not limited to India, but conventionally we can say Indian philosophy, the word is darshan, which means seeing the truth. There's another word, vada, which is often used interchangeably, but vada also gives the sense of discussion and argument. So we're interested in darshan. Now you may think, well, we're going to have a philosophical, we're going to discuss philosophy, so yeah, jiva swarup hoy Krishna, what is that? Yeah, everyone knows that. That's the most basic thing. You can't come all the way to hear about philosophy and you're just going to talk about jiva swarup hoy Krishna. Everyone knows that. That's very basic, right? You think we'd get something better than that for our money's worth. But actually, the whole philosophy of the Absolute Truth is encapsulated in this statement. Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. And we find in the verse before this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatan Goswami. He says to Sanatana Goswami, Jogapatra hau tumi bhakti pravartaite krame shab tatta shuno kahiye tomate. You, Sanatana Goswami, are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them. So, all the truths, this word, tattva, if we're going to say philosophy if we're going to give a Sanskrit alternative word or Bengali, darshan is one word, vada can be one word. Darshan is often associated with a particular outlook. So we have Advaita darshan, the philosophical outlook of those who think that everything is one, that seeing the seer and the seen, it's all one. Darshan, darshak, drishya. Darshan, drashta, and drishya. It's all the same. And through complex philosophy, they try to explain that everything's all one, but it's not. Then Vedanta Darshan, Dvaita Darshan, or we may say Advaitavad, Dvaitavad. So Darshan is one word, Vad is another word. But Tattva is also a very important word. Tattva, of course, the meaning is somewhat different. It's like so many words, it's not fully translatable in English. Srila Prabhupada often translates it as truth. Tattva, it literally means that-ness. So what is the nature of such and such? An entity that or phenomenon that we're discussing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'll tell you everything gradually. And he starts with this, Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. he didn't say, well, bhakti, okay, you're just gonna feel bhakti in your heart. He didn't say that. He's going to teach him systematically. Krome, the word gradually, also gives the sense of systematically. So this teaching is given to Sanatana Goswami because he is seeing Sanatana Goswami as a yogyapatra, a fit candidate for hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to teach him. Now, in the philosophy course in the college, the fit candidate means someone who has passed certain exams prior to entering that course and who is prepared to pay. And his character doesn't matter at all. Of course, should have some modicum of respect for the teacher. There's some etiquette to be followed. But in the colleges, in America today, it's expected that the students are having illicit sex. It's expected. They may or may not eat meat. If they're more fashionable, they don't eat meat. And taking intoxication, illegal drugs, it's expected. And if they're not doing that, it's considered there's something wrong with them. They're not normal. But to be a fit candidate for understanding the philosophy of the Absolute Truth as given in the Vedic system. Veda means knowledge. Veda means knowledge, and darshan means to understand that knowledge. Therefore, you may say, well, you just have the Vedas, that's all, and that's it. But knowledge is there, but it needs to be unpacked and understood. You can get a pile of books on medicine and read them, but you won't be allowed to practice as a doctor. You have to be trained by someone who knows and understands and can guide you to understand that. So Veda is there. Vedanta is there. Vedanta is one particular darshan, one particular angle on seeing the Vedas. Well, that's Vedanta darshan. Vedanta literally means the Upanishads. So, but how to understand this? It's not simply a question of having a brain which is sufficiently developed to understand various philosophical, what shall we say, syllogisms and extrapolations and so on. One has to be pure in heart and pure in behavior. If I get round to it, I'll discuss that during the course of this philosophical camp. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatana Goswami as a fit candidate because of the way, or at least we can learn what it means to be a fit candidate from the way that Sanatana, so this is prior to philosophy. How are we even going to be admitted in the college, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's college? One has to know how to be eligible to be accepted within that college. Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Apanar hita hit kichu inajani, grama bebohare pandit. I do not know what is beneficial for me or what is detrimental. Nonetheless, in ordinary dealings, people consider me a learned scholar, and I am also thinking of myself as such. Sanatana Goswami, I don't know. People think I'm very learned, and I'm so foolish that I consider like this. So the fact that Sanatana Goswami was very learned in worldly matters, he considered, actually he was very learned in Shastra also, even prior to meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he didn't present that, here I am, I'm a great scholar, everyone knows I'm a great scholar, and if you want, you can tell me something. He didn't approach like that. He came as a blank slate. I don't know. Sanatana Goswami says, Kripa kari jodi more kari acho udhar, apana kripate koha kartaba ama. Out of your causeless mercy, you have delivered me from the materialistic path. Now by the same causeless mercy, please tell me what my duty is. So Sanatana doesn't say, I'm qualified, but you please be merciful and tell me. And then Sanatana asks, Ke ami kene amai jare tapatroi iha nahi jani kemone hitohoi. Who am I? Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited? I don't know how I can be benefited. So Sanatana Goswami, he presents himself as being completely ignorant, but he's asking the right kind of questions. He's not going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, cure my backache. He's not going to him and saying, how can I become God? He's asking relevant questions, and he continues, Shadda shadana tatta puchite najani kripa kari shad tatta kaha ta apani. Actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. So he's asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to explain to him all the truths, Shabda tatta, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, I will do. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins, and certainly he goes on much further to discuss, but he starts, Jibesharup hoi Krishna nitya das. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna. And we might think that prior to this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Rupa Goswami are given. And it's not the same exactly as those to Sanatana Goswami. But we can understand, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'll teach you everything. So he also taught what he taught to Rupa Goswami, but it's not included here because for the sake of not repeating. So he teaches him everything. And just as Sanatana Goswami asks about Shadya Sadhana Tatta, what is the goal of life and how to attain it? It's the same question that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put to Rai Ramananda, so that we can understand. In the course of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching of Sanatana Goswami, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami all these things, but it may not all be included in this lengthy section of the Bhagavatam, in which we have a summary only of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching Sanatana Goswami. The first word is jiva. Very important word. It immediately establishes that we are living beings. You may think, well, that's a given, isn't it? But then, if we were to ask Stephen Hawking, let me quote Francis Crick first. If we were to ask Francis Crick, the co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, one of the towering figures in modern science, he says, you, who are you? Ke ami, Sanatana Goswami asked. He asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He didn't ask Francis Crick. Francis Crick would have said, you, your joys and sorrows, your memories and ambitions, your sense of personal identity and free will are in fact no more than the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells. As Lewis Carroll's Alice might have phrased it, you're nothing but a pack of neurons. Stephen Hawking. The human race is just a chemical scum on a moderate-sized planet orbiting around a very average star in the outer suburb of one among 100 billion galaxies. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say that. They may think these Hawking and Crick and their followers may think that this is the apex of discovery. But it was said long before. There's Vedanta Darshan, Yoga Darshan, Sankhya Darshan, there are different darshans based on the Vedas. And there's also Gnostic Darshan, atheistic Darshan. It's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, as we find from a very philosophical part of the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. So we have also a similar kind of statement from Charvak, one of the famous great atheists of ancient India, Rinang Kritva Gritang Pitbet, Yavat Jivet Sukang Jivet, Bhasmi Bhutasya Dehasya, King Puna Agamana Obhavet. Enjoy while you can, he says. How do you enjoy? They're more sophisticated atheists. Take ghee. And you can get it by any means, beg, steal or borrow, because there's no future karma or any such thing, because when you die, you die. And you'll burn your body and you won't come back again. It's all over. So while you're here, enjoy yourself. So nothing new. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins by saying we are jiva. We are conscious. We're living beings. That means there's a difference between the soul and the body. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, by using this word, jiva, as the first word, in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, he's actually starting at the same place that Krishna starts in Bhagavad Gita. But he's in one line, he summarizes so much of the essence of Krishna's teachings, that we are living beings. And like I said, it may be taken as a given, but there are living beings who argue that we're not living beings, that there is no phenomenon as life separate from matter. Life is a production of matter. Life comes from matter, and therefore there is nothing but matter. But jiv means we are conscious. We're conscious living beings. And by the great endeavors of scientists to try to find the truth, in one sense, they're also looking for truth, but they're looking for it in matter. Western science is very much fixated on what they take to be the axiomatic understanding that there cannot be anything beyond matter. Why that should be, they don't explain, because they just accept it as an axiom. But that's because they're demons, as we know from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna. Again, it's nothing new. There's asatyama pratishtante jagad ahura nishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. Those who are demons, they think that there's no God, there's no ultimate truth. What is there? There's just this world, and there's desire in this world, and there's nothing. There's nothing beyond all of this. So the atheistic scientists, in their endeavors to try to find out everything, or as much as they can find out, eventually came to the strange non-intuitional. It's not expected. The strange phenomenon known as consciousness, when they found out that the behavior of a wave, when it is put through a screen, whether we look at, if there's an observer, it depends on the observer whether it's a wave or a particle. So consciousness affects matter. Then the question arises, what is consciousness? Which they, for all their amazing insights into matter, they never thought about consciousness. They just never really thought about that. They're trying to understand everything without first of all examining the tool with which they try to understand everything, which is consciousness. They just, I don't know, it's just like a blind spot in Western philosophy, and especially in science, that they never really thought that what is consciousness, but they became forced to think about it, which made them very uncomfortable, because it's very hard to explain, and they've been trying to explain it for over, not really trying very hard, because it looks like they're going toward, they might have to try to bring in something metaphysical, and that's not allowed in science. But eventually they had to, the scientists, maybe not more than 30 years ago, consciousness studies became part of the curriculum in scientific institutions. It was a new field, exciting field, which became necessary to try to understand the nature of reality as we're trying to see it through physics, especially. But there are different groups of scientists who try to comment on consciousness, and there are three basic outlooks. One of them is that just that, well, consciousness is matter. It must be, because everything else is matter, and we don't know anything else but matter, so it must be matter. And therefore, as Francis Crick says, you're nothing but a pack of neurons. Consciousness is a neurochemical phenomenon. The electric impulses within the neurons of the brain, and the various chemicals which influence that. So consciousness, they say, is nothing more than a neurochemical phenomenon. We don't exactly know what consciousness is, but it must be physical, like everything else. Everything in existence is physical. They speak. They presume. It's not proven, nor is it provable. But they presume that it must be physical. Then another group may say that, well, we don't know what consciousness is, but we'll know in future. And another says, we don't know what consciousness is, and we probably won't ever know. It'll always be beyond our ability to understand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins, Jivera, the first word. It's just accepted as an axiom that we are conscious living beings. And of course, when he says, when he uses this word, he expects that Sanatana Goswami understands the basic beginning teachings of Bhagavad Gita, because in the basic beginning teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes what is the nature of Jiva, the living being. I'll read one of the several verses that Krishna states about the nature of the Jiva in the beginning of his teachings to Arjuna. Avinashi tu tadvidhi yena sarvam idam tatam vinasham avyayasyasya nakaschit kartam arhati. That which pervades the entire body you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. Later we have in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about his eight separated material energies. He distinguishes between material energy and then aparayamitastvanyang prakritin vidhi me param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Krishna says the eight energies, bhumirapo nalo vayo kangmano buddhir eva cha ahankara iti angme bhinna prakritir ashtada. These eight, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, they comprise material energy, which is my separated energy, and say, yep, that's what we're talking about, that's science. And especially the first four, earth, water, fire, air, ether, then we can, but of course these categories are not accepted in modern science, but we can say that water is generally found on this planet, especially on land or within human experience. It's generally found at a liquid state. It also has a solid state and a gaseous state, but it's generally that water. Okay, water that covers all liquids, and then air that covers all gases. So what we call elements, according to the periodic table, it doesn't exactly fit what is called an element. If we take what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, earth, water, fire, air, ether, because what we call an element, according to the periodic table, modern chemistry, that can be, just like water can be solid, which means it's like earth, liquid, like water, and gas, like steam or air. So the mundane scientists presume that there's nothing more than matter. And even when we say ether, they don't accept that there's ether. That's something from alchemy in the past. Ether, akash, the space within which everything exists. And mind, intelligence, and false ego, these are all products of matter, of gross matter. But Krishna says, aparayamitastu, there's another kind of energy which is superior to matter. The physicalists or the materialistic scientists who think there's nothing beyond physical energy, they think that it's matter alone constitutes the universe. But Krishna says that it's the jivas who are of a different nature, that's the first essential point. And then another point is that it's the jivas who are making the universe run on, not matter per se. We may say, well, Krishna's doing that, right? It's Krishna. He's running on the universe. Maya dhakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam, under my supervision, material nature runs on, and everything moving and non-moving comes into being. But Krishna, prior to this, says that it's the living beings who are making the world run on. So there we have, this is a big topic in philosophy, the cause and effect. So there are multiple causes of anything, and the ultimate cause is Krishna. But I'm going way, way ahead here. Actually, if we're discussing philosophy, at every, probably at every word, we could stop and then go into some tunnel to explain that, and then enter a whole universe of discussion. So we have to accept some things as axiomatic. Even to discuss, we have to accept that we're here, we exist, at least at some level, and that the words I'm saying have meaning which is intelligible, and you can understand it. If we want to discuss philosophy, maybe we should start at epistemology, but you can get stuck right there and never get beyond that. Or you can discuss the nature of language, which is the means by which, and how is language communicating meanings, and what is the meaning of meaning, and you can just, really, you... What is the meaning of meaning? It's a very big question in philosophy. So you could get stuck at any point and never go anywhere. But we won't do that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't do that either. And those who are going to teach the absolute truth don't do that. There's some things in any sphere of existence, we have to accept some things as axiomatic. And actually, the father of modern philosophy, as they call him in the Western world, René Descartes, he also didn't want to start with any axioms. So he thought something which is undeniable. We have to start with something undeniable. I think, therefore, I exist. So that's something that's undeniable that I'm thinking. But then he says, well, possibly there is a big demon who's just putting all these impressions in my mind. And that, so that's also a possibility. And that possibility is made into a big movie in The Matrix, which I haven't seen. But I have found out enough about it to be able to talk about it. And even to say, I think, therefore I exist. If you say it in English, you have to say I, which already presupposes that there is an I. But if you say it in the original Latin, because it's a language of a structure more like Sanskrit, then the word I, cogito, it's already mixed up. The person who's involved and the action, it's all mixed up. Just like here, Najani. We Sanatana Goswami says, Apana hita hit kichui najani. Najani. And Najani, Srila Prabhupada translates as, I do not know. So where's the word I there in the original Bengali? It's not there. It's by the grammatical construction we can understand. Same in Russian, right? Must be. That you don't, there's no separate word for I that you have to, you could say it, you could say, ami janina, I don't know. But if you say na jani, it's already, from the grammatical construction, it's understood that, so anyway, you don't say it, but it's not said in the original Latin, cogito ergo sum, I think therefore exists. But if you say it in English, I think, but already the existence of I, so you're jumping ahead of yourself. And it's impossible. Philosophy is impossible. It's an impossible subject unless we start off with Sanatana Goswami saying that, I really don't know anything. You better help me here. And that's the beginning. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says about that we are jivas, and there's a lot more to say about that, but I'll stop here because we're going to do it bit by bit. And that's probably quite a lot to chew on Ekadashi, for the first session. Hare Krishna, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Please write down questions, and if I ever, in the course of these six sessions, I ever get through Jivesharupoi Krishna Nitya Das, then we could take some questions. Otherwise, what happens with this kind of talk, that you ask a question, and it's quite likely it's going to be covered in a later session, but it gets out of order. Krame, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Krame shabtadda shikailo to me, something like that. I'll teach you step by step. So I'm not taking that. I'm Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you're Siddhartha Goswami. But it's the same principle. Hare Krishna, vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya charnakam padayane patya kritvaja ka kushatame tadaham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charne kuritana raga parivadatu jano yata tata Hari Rasa Madhira Madhati Matta Puvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishnam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.